try. And I am available. So anyway, what do I want to start on today?
I told you I submitted your resume.
Oh, good, good. Well, you know,
yeah.
The more people do that, the better. The one thing I think we should start using as a rule, which means nothing to the listeners, but I'll just mention it here so I don't forget it, is let's make sure that anything that we're going to talk about, if there's a link that exists for it, whether it's a video or a text, make sure you send it to me and I'll send you likewise so that we're not just going blind. But I see you sent me the Fwitter link. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. Anyway, so I'm going on a mileage run Sunday.
Yeah. And how far out of your way are you mileaging?
Well, so my trip to Orlando got canceled, postponed to January. So I needed three hops.
Okay.
So Sunday, I'm literally leaving
Sunday.
At 8 something.
Yeah.
Flying to Chicago, then flying to Kansas City, then flying back to Houston.
You're fucked.
Why?
Christmas! Mr. Grinch, you really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk.
A classic song. You don't know
Mr. Grinch.
You don't need your Mr. Grinch.
The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote:
this is Thurl stink, Ravenscroft.
Stank. Stunk.
From what?
You're a rotter.
I don't know. This is from Mr. the original Grinch. The original Grinch cartoon one. You know what I'm talking about? The original.
Oh, I never saw it.
Next you're going to say Bah Humbug. I'm telling you, it's going to happen.
Bah Humbug. Yeah. So they just get out on time today because they had to go do something.
All right, here we go. Let's do, that's all saved. That's all good. Let's turn it over. Here we go.
Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
And I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And it's the 21st, the fourth show of December.
Nope.
2025.
Nope. 23rd.
Oh, I'm sorry. I looked at the calendar. Yeah, 23rd.
You're 23rd, right. Almost Christmas Eve day.
Yeah, tomorrow. Christmas Eve.
Yep. So, Merry Christmas to you and your family and to your extended family and anybody that knows you, John C. Dvorak, Merry Christmas.
Well, same to you.
Thank you. And a Chag Sameach for...
I couldn't say it better.
Yeah, for Hanukkah that just passed. So, a couple of things that are happening here. The close to the pin. Good news. All nine participants are active, have put in their price guesses. All systems are go. Yeah, it's good, right?
Yeah, it is good. They didn't bail.
So, it's what we thought would happen, that they waited in a very intelligent manner, very crafty, to wait the last minute to get as close as you can.
To the last. Of course, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, exactly. Not in all. I mean, if something's very volatile, you may not know. I mean, something's just swinging 20% here or there. Who knows? But anyway, all nine, which is great that we have everybody participating. And it'll be a tight race because right now the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which is the particular ticker for the Close to the Pin Cup each and every year, it is trading in a relatively tight range. The S&P 500 closed an all-time high today by a slight measure, just ever so. Just
yeah, great. I think it's going to close something to similar to what it is today.
I would think that, let's see, we have tomorrow's a half a day. Thursday, markets are closed. Friday, full day, but day after Christmas, nobody's doing anything. Then you have the weekend. Then Monday, full day. Tuesday, full day. Wednesday, back to the same schedule as this week, to a degree. I think, no, Wednesday is going to be a full day. They don't close early for New Year's Eve.
Okay.
Because people have to do trades for the end of the year. You can't screw around with missing a particular transaction when it's like, oh, I didn't know it was a half day. Because then you're locked in for the year.
Right, right. Yep, makes sense.
In other news, as our warm-up, Elon Musk getting his money.
Court said no. Court said yes. Court said no. Investors were questionable. Shareholders, he got his money. So that wait till you hear the number of what he's worth now. It's astounding. And only somebody that may have been either from another planet or from the future could have predicted and executed this well with the shenanigans he pulls.
Yeah, I agree.
So something there. It's like when I went to Egypt and I saw the pyramids, I'm like, no, sorry. Humans didn't do this. It didn't happen. Seriously. I was absolute, this is not, you know, they give you this cockable story with these. Have you been to Egypt and seen the pyramids?
No, I missed it.
Okay. Whatever you're thinking, each block on the Great Pyramid of Giza is much bigger than you can imagine. Every single stone. And the thought that they carry those on bamboo rollers from 150 miles away across rivers when the rivers, the water went down and then they floated them. No. Sorry. It's not happening.
You'll be talking about moon landing next.
Yeah. We have a kids account challenge that's going on, and it's not a kids account challenge that John and I are doing, but it's the Trump account, the $1,000 freebie over the next few years that will go to children in certain, we talked about this last week, in certain zip codes that are below certain income levels on average. They get $1,000 that will grow tax deferred, tax free, can be converted over many years from now. So that's pretty good. Start out with $1,000, which is a lot more than I got. What do you get for the government for being born?
Nothing.
Right?
It's the way I like it.
Yeah. Nobody's going to bribe me. This is all about trying to tell people to vote Republican in the future. That's what this is about. Strings attached. Patriot games are coming. Pretty cool thing that's happening here. That was announced yesterday. One of the many things that are announced on a daily basis from this administration. If you blink, you missed out on a lot.
Yeah, but then again, you can catch up with the summaries.
Well, especially when you listen to shows like The Disciplined Investor, one of the greatest podcasts ever built back from 2007 to now, DH Unplugged, and of course, the greatest podcast in the universe, No Agenda, with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak on Thursdays and Sundays of each and every week, starting at 2 p.m. Eastern time. That pretty much sums it up, I think, right?
You've just covered it.
Yeah.
People don't need to listen to anything else but those three podcasts.
Because we're all biased in our own little way, obviously. Let's not try to kid the listeners and say that we don't have our biases, but they're informed and relative, and biases that we try, I think, all three of us, try to talk knowing what our biases are to find the truth.
They're tempered is the word you're looking for.
Yeah. You're right. Tempered. Analysts predicting S&P 500, about 7,500 on the S&P at the end of 2026. The game they play, trying to predict. Do you know how they do this?
Yeah, but do you remember early in the year we both predicted 5,000 to 5,500?
Yeah. And because all we did was take a simple multiplication about 10 to 12%.
Yeah.
That's what you do. Yeah. You take the long-term average, you stick it on there, and how wrong can you get? And all of a sudden, mid-year, the market's 5% down. All you do is take 10% from that number and say, we're readjusting our numbers now. Rarely is it ever adjusted lower. Can't happen. Oh, my God. But 7,500 is about a 12% upside from here. And with not much headwinds, we don't know what's going to happen. At this exact moment right now, even with the buildup of naval and aircraft and soldiers down in the Caribbean, because Maduro is going to say something and President Trump is going to get mad, and we're going to, I guess, invade Venezuela. Which, by the way, funny enough, and this is not a protest item, I am making for Christmas a traditional Venezuelan ham bread.
Venezuelan ham bread?
Yeah, very popular in Venezuela. Very popular. You take a sweet dough that you make, a yeast-based dough that you sweeten up a little bit with milk too. And then you roll in it ham, and raisins and black, well, traditionally it's green olives that are sliced up, maybe some bacon. And then you roll that up and you bake it. Don't ask me.
Dreadful.
it's almost like a savory fruitcake.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I haven't made it before. So I looked at the recipe. I put all the ingredients. More Oracle back and forth. And gold and silver. Holy cow. Hi-ho, silver. Let's see where silver is now, shall we?
Yes.
72.
That's hilarious.
72.
It's ridiculous. It's over. I have to say right now, I don't know. It just seems too high.
It was 72 and a half. It's starting to come down a little bit right now. Gold, 4,500.
Was it the last show? It was 61. Did it go up 10 bucks?
Let's see. 5 days it was. Last show it may have been December 18th. What is today? So it has to go back 1 month. So last week was, it was like maybe 65, 64.
Yeah.
It's up $8. It's up like 9% in a week.
It's ridiculous.
Nothing to see here. I bought 50 ounces of Costco bars. That's not a lot, but whatever. I bought it like 4 months ago at 42.
Yeah.
42.
Yeah, you doubled your money.
So ridiculous. So Elon Musk, his net worth surged to $749 billion late last Friday after the Delaware Supreme Court reinstated Tesla stock. The options, and they were worth about, I think, about $139, $140 billion that were voided last year.
Yeah.
So he also received a pay package recently that could amount to another $1 trillion if things hit where they should. He is now worth more than Jeff Bezos, Mark Zuckerberg, and Jensen Huang combined. That's pretty impressive.
This is an example of a guy who played his cards right.
He went up and down. I mean, he's done a lot of things, obviously. This is not just a one-hit wonder here. Not to mention, he was the co-founder of OpenAI. He got screwed on that deal.
Yeah, he did, actually.
His fortune exceeds the GDP of nations like the Netherlands, Saudi Arabia, and Switzerland. He's richer than every country in Africa by GDP. He's predicted to be the first trillionaire by 2027. I don't hear him doing the give away your money challenge with Warren Buffett and Bill Gates.
No, he's not an idiot.
Well, if he splits up his assets equally between all of the children that he has fathered, they get about $1,000 each. He's definitely got a lot of kids.
Well, we don't know how many he's really fathered, because it's supposed to, you know, that rumor that went around that he was giving women $50 million to have his kid, and then he'd guarantee a college education for him.
Oh, I'd have his kid for that. I'm just saying.
It'd take a little extra work for you, but yeah.
All right, what did Larry Ellison and Oracle become newsworthy? There's a question I've been... It's like Larry Ellison. I want to say that, if I'm not mistaken, he has a big house outside of San Francisco, and I feel like I was at that house.
He's got a couple of places. He's got a big... His big place is down in Woodside. Then he has a rather large place in... which I have been to. To be honest about it, it's in Pacific Heights.
I think I was at that house. It's like a nice...
It's got a view.
It's a mansion, clearly.
It's got a view. All I know is I went there for some event for NetSuite, a wine tasting, and Larry let him use the house, and the rule was you can't go upstairs.
Yeah, that was probably the same place I was at. I had some event with some financial dudes. And
he makes money leasing it out, I guess.
Yeah.
He's not doing it. Knowing Larry Ellison, that is not given away for free.
Yeah, no.
And it's got a huge staff, a kitchen staff, and a bunch of people running around.
But what's interesting is that he was newsworthy years ago when he was doing the constant feud and one-upsmanship against Bill Gates. Remember that? Oh, and Larry Ellison.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And that was Larry Ellison. But then he kind of faded. Still at Oracle, don't get me wrong, but it just wasn't, you know, I mean, yeah, he has America's Cup and his sailing and all that stuff in his chair, but still not a big, not like Larry Ellison. It wasn't a Musk. It wasn't a big name. I don't know. Now he's in the news like every day. We have his OpenAI.
He's getting a second wind.
A big second wind. And how old is he? He's like 80?
I think he's 81, maybe 82.
He's now personally guaranteeing the Paramount bid for Warner Brothers. $40 billion personal guarantee, which I guess is about just helping out Sonny Boy.
And I think it's because he wants to get a hold of CNN, no matter how he has to do it.
Well, David Ellison is now in the throes of this whole entire negotiation, his son. And I don't know. Do you think this is what I don't know how closely you've been watching this, but what's your take on who wins? Netflix?
I don't know that anyone's going to win. I don't know if it's going to go through. I think they may end up spinning off CNN, whether they want do the deal or not, because they were going to do that anyway. And CNN is really the target of Ellison because he wants to get it in the hands of the Republicans before the primaries begin.
So if that's the case, and that is really truly the effort, you would think that that would be an easier buy.
Well, if you go straight at it, you're not going to get a good deal, and there's no way that Ellison's going to put up with getting screwed in anything.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens. That the saga continues.
It's a trick. It's a negotiation trick. Mm. There's a trick involved.
And then last week, we saw more information come out about this OpenAI deal. I don't know why I keep saying OpenAI. But the data center that they were building with Oracle, with OpenAI from Michigan, and the Blue Owl Capital went back to $10 billion. And Oracle, you know, had all these lease deals, $248 billion in lease commitments for data centers and cloud capacity. And then the project was moving forward. And it just goes on and on. It just goes on and on. And then we got the other thing that all of a sudden he has his hands in. Back, we talked about this last week. I asked the question, where's TikTok? What happened? Where's TikTok? Well, TikTok. Right, here we go again. Multiple media outlets, including the Associated Press, reported that ByteDance has reached an agreement with Oracle, Silver Lake, and Abu Dhabi-based MGX to set up a joint venture for TikTok's U.S. operations. Oracle is going to hold a 15% stake in the new entity, while ByteDance will retain a 19.9%. So they're giving it away against the American operations. But the important thing here is why this has to happen is to keep TikTok as a major tenant of OCI. Clearly because Oracle needs the cash flow.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, yep.
That'd be disastrous with all the commitments they have outstanding if they lose one of their base pay centers. Yeah, the
cash cow.
Uh-huh. So that's kind of interesting. Now, when that came out that this is happening and when it came out that Oracle may in fact move forward with this whole Michigan data center. It seems it's on par. And all the other things that surrounding the stock bounced pretty nicely. Still, let's see, I'm not sure where the stock is, but it did bounce nicely from where it was. So let's take a look. So Oracle right now is trading at 195, down 1.5%. It was as low as 180 and change a few days ago. I think it clipped 180 by a little.
They're doing what they can to keep it propped up.
Yeah.
I'd be tempted to short it, but I'm not going to.
I thought you did for the game. Didn't you short it for the game?
Not,
or maybe you went long. I don't know. Let's see. Let's bring this up.
I have to
up.
Go look.
Let's take a look here. Let's open this file. Okay. Oracle. I guess not. I thought there was something on here.
Yeah, you probably think NVIDIA is
Oracle.
Popular.
Oracle was, wait a second. Oracle was a short on yours on 9/17. Is this right? Wait a second.
Yeah, what price?
Hang on, this doesn't look at 3. You got it at 307.
Ah,
it's 195.
Yeah, they did okay, except they got kicked because of a whipsaw. Right. But it was a good pick.
And your thesis
to do it again.
Your thesis was BS predictions.
Oh yeah, right. Which was right.
Right.
The BS predictions about what's going to happen with all this money go around.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you were right about that. Good job. Very nice. Nice going. I like it. Congressional ban on stock trading. Okay, a vote on legislation banning members. This is not the first time this has come around, by the way.
No, it comes around every so often.
Every so often. Banning members from owning or trading stocks could get a vote on in the new year, according to House leadership and Republican members. President Trump says he supports a congressional ban, but pushed back on any of the versions of the bill that included the executive branch. I find that funny.
Yeah, it's funny.
Basically, the bill would prohibit the ownership of individual stocks by Congress. So they can still own ETFs and other things like that. Now over to Japan. The Bank of Japan raised their benchmark rate to its highest in 30 years, lifting the 10-year JGB, which is their government bond, past 2%. Yen is still very weak, trading about a 157. Let's go back to that. I got all these things I want to look up as we're talking. The yen is currently trading at 155 half, we'll call it. So very weak yen, even though they're having some of their own inflation problems. Their inflation is not like a 10% inflation. It's like 2%, 3%. It's a problem. So because they were in such a deflationary spiral for years. I mean, we're talking 30 years of this negative rate, zero rate nonsense.
Yeah, I know.
Stimulating an economy for 30 years. Could we at least agree that something's not right with how it's structured?
Something's amiss.
Yeah. You know, we blamed it on the aging population for a long time. We blamed it on productivity enhancements. Come on. It's enough already. That kind of stuff would cycle through by now. The BOJ said the real interest rates are expected to remain significantly negative. So that's real rates. So if they have a 2% rate and it's a 3% inflation rate, it's a negative one. Adding that the accommodative financial conditions will continue to firmly support economic activity. On this move of raising rates, the yen weakened 0.25% after the decision against the dollar. Very dovish, very stimulative. Ass backwards, if you ask me.
Yeah, I think so.
But on one hand, I think the Bank of Japan is talking in a dovish manner. On one hand, they're talking in a hawkish manner by rate hikes. And the other hand, they're quietly, dovishly pushing down the yen because it's very good for their economy. They're an export nation.
It makes Toyotas cheaper.
Exactly. Exactly.
the car is already cheaper.
Yeah. We got some economic numbers this week that are questionable. Would be the right way to put it, I think. Partial numbers, best guesses. 2 months averaging going on. We averaged some numbers over 2 months because we didn't have it due to the government shutdown. So.
Oh, yeah, that would do it.
You would think that maybe there are some essential workers, the designation that could be put on the people that gather this information because it's important that we understand what's happening. Or not. Maybe not.
Yeah, I think that boat has sailed.
Yeah. Well, due to the government shutdown, the BLS will make certain methodological assumptions about the prior month's inflation levels. So they came out with a number that said last month was 2.7 and 2.6 for the core and for the base, which was below expectations. They're making estimates. The assumptions so this was really interesting. Most economists couldn't explain the differentials in the assumptions, but they knew there were some. There was one big one, one glaring, gigantic, giant assumption, and that was this, that one of the biggest components of today's inflation calculation when they do this, when they have the methodology and their current statistical measure, is owner's equivalent rent, or OER. It's basically the cost of living, the cost of owning a home, you know, the cost of living in a home, right?
This is an indicator I'm unfamiliar with.
Yeah, this is what they really plowed into the inflation numbers a number of years ago when they changed their methodology, which they do from time to time because they needed to benefit themselves. It's taken out. They put this in. So what happened is this is a big issue over the last number of years. It was an issue. And that's what the big complaining was and grousing about. Well, you know, if the owner's equivalent rent is such a prominent number inside the calculation and we're seeing such a dramatic increase in housing, is that really fair that that has such a weight in the CPI number? So first of all, didn't you think of that could happen when you first put that into the calculation? These things do happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
We know this. Listen, how many housing booms have you lived through?
Three, I think.
Yeah, housing boom. How many just housing increase times that we wouldn't consider booms, but still reasonable time for a lot, right?
I think 10.
Yeah. So they put this in there for a reason when they changed this around. Now, they set this particular, because they didn't have the information, they set it for this month's release at zero, that there was neither inflation or deflation, disinflation, increase, decrease, nothing, zero. No change in the pricing, which has not been what we've seen. Owner's equivalent rent has been going up. Therefore, this is a giant hole the size of, you know, a magnum size hole in this calculation that they utilized for this month to give us a better than expected. And then markets reacted appropriately, which is, oh, if inflation is in fact coming down or we have a disinflationary environment, maybe we're going to see Fed numbers, you know, we're going to see a Fed come out and talk about, you know, not being as hawkish and maybe thinking about reducing the rates in the future. But more importantly, you know, this is a good thing and let's ride it. Hocus pocus.
So basically you're telling us that you think this is a scam.
It's just bogus. It's total bogus. Everybody knows it's bogus.
Which is typical of these numbers.
Yeah, it's total bogus. If it's, Fox News and CNN would be sitting here in our position, blaming it on some rationale for some political something or other, right? I just think it's pure lazy and desire not to, you know, rock anything up, saying, well, you know what? Let's at least keep it as close as we can to the expectations, and then we'll see what happens the next couple of months when the real numbers come out.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Don't rock the bark. Don't rock the boat.
Yeah, fake it till you make it kind of thing.
So, sports prediction markets. You know, I don't know. This is interesting. I have been noticing that more and more various names of sports or prediction markets are being used to show what could actually be the outcome of things. We did this with polls forever, right?
Yeah, no, now it's the prediction market.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is a way to gouge the public from, because these odds makers, the guys who do these things, and mostly the money is made with these prop bets, which is like if you go to a craps table and you want to win at all, you just play the lot, you know, you just play the game straight up. You don't do all these screwball bets that are all over the table. The horn bet, you ate the hard way, all these other things. You just go with the line. And but the prop bets, it turned out to be in sports, they turned out to be incredibly lucrative, although they're very easy to rig. And now they've moved them over to prop bets for example, I have a list of them that I posted on my Twitter feed. People should, or X, people should subscribe, even though every time I say that I lose 100. The real Dvorak. It's true. It shows the who's going to be the first cabinet member to quit. And Pam Bondi and and Pete Hegseth. They're 1.75 to 1, and Zeldin is 6,500 to 1. Or no, he's plus 6,500, which is 65 to 1. And they have all these prop bets on this sort of thing. This is just a way to take money from the public, because people are gambling is a natural thing that you can just get suckered into throwing money away.
I think that there is a really interesting place for this in the financial markets. And we talk about this, you know, we talk about this with Interactive Brokers, right?
Doing it. I mean, it's crazy. If you can do it, it's crazy not to. It's a moneymaker for Interactive Brokers. And if you're good, I mean, I'm not saying that there aren't professional gamblers out there that make a living doing this. It's just that the average guy, it's like the stock market. The average guy, you know, they're the same people that come up to you, they come up to me, they come up to everybody, and they say, hey, I've been watching the market as high as it's ever been. You think I should get in?
Well, this also, like I said, in some areas, I think it's really a smart way to go, because you could do the hedging and there's all sorts of things.
You can use it for hedging.
True. Some of the things I think which are, for example, if there's a prediction market that usually a binary, like this or that, and not so much the prop betting, right? This is different. That's a little bit different. But, you know, will markets be above or below this amount on a certain date?
Yes, like the over and under in sports.
But that's easy. That's an easy one. That's a no-brainer that you figure out.
It's like black or red.
Right, but that one has a reasonable use case. But when you have other things like, for example, how many strikes will be, or how many times will the guy hit the dirt? How many times will he hit a? Will he hit any? Will he throw and hit a batter?
Yeah, or in the third inning, wild pitch.
Right,
Are riggable. If you're the guy, you yourself can make the bet.
The other stuff in the markets are not riggable as that, but there's a 44% increase in volume in prediction markets. That's the prediction next year. But sports books are getting kind of nervous. Do you think the sports books will change to prediction books?
I think they'll just add it. I don't see why they wouldn't. Because a lot of the prediction, there's one group that I get the odds from that they send out a press release and I'm on the list. It's a sports betting operation that's also doing predictions. They're doing both.
Yeah. A lot of companies are doing that. You have the Coinbase.
They're not predicting the stock market stuff yet. I mean, that's a third. There's, you know, just overall prop betting predictions about one thing, who's going to win the presidency and stuff like that. And then there's the sports betting, who's going to win the World Series and stuff like that. But then there's the market, which is a third one, which is, is the stock going to go up or down?
Yep.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, there's some use case for some of this. I think the problem with the riggable ones are going to be looked at. But we'll see. I mean, this market's new. It's fresh. But then again, I'll also say something else. Anybody could do whatever they want with their money. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, no judging. Seriously. You want to do this or that?
No, that's a libertarian perspective. But the other perspective, which is more extreme on the other end, is that people have to be protected against their own stupidity.
Yeah, that's a hard thing to do. Impossible, actually. But yes.
Well, we try to do it in this country.
I get it. All right, first we had Dell.
Warning labels.
Yeah, we have warning. We do. We have warning labels.
They don't have those same warning labels in lots of places.
You ever seen the cigarette warning labels in Europe? They're ghastly.
Yeah, the ones they can show you, they have pictures of the rotten teeth and stuff. Yeah.
Rotten teeth. They have a guy with no neck.
No nose. Yeah, they do that.
God. All right, first Dell, then billionaire hedge fund manager Ray Dalio of Bridgewater and his wife Barb committed to seed Trump accounts for approximately 300,000 children in Connecticut. So 300,000 children times 1,000 is, let's see, it's $300 million? Is that right? Yeah, $300 million.
$300 million.
Nice. They're going to go to the median income in particular Connecticut zip codes where the median income is less than 150. Oh, he's actually doing $250 per child is what he's doing. So it's still healthy.
That's free money.
Yep. Charles Schwab also announced today that they're going to match their employees. This is like a thing. Do you remember a few years ago, I think it was during COVID, that there was a dividend paid by the companies of $1,000 per employee? You remember that whole thing?
If they got the vax?
No, no, no. It was just that, hey, we're doing well and this and that. People are really suffering. And
I, for some reason, it disilludes me. I don't remember.
Yeah, they gave company after company would give it $1,000 to every employee. This was like a thing. And this has now become a thing because now Schwab is going to give their employees, children who meet the criteria of income of less than, let's say, 100 something thousand, they're going to match the Trump, which is $1,000.
Wow.
Yep.
That's good.
But you're hearing about
this. Got to do something. You know, somebody looked at the population data and said, hey, you know, we're not going to have enough people here. We got to do some encouragement.
Yep.
Encourage them. Give them a couple of grand. Have a kid.
Exactly. Patriot Games. I don't know if you heard about this. You hear about this?
Oh, yeah.
Trump announced that the Washington Monument will be illuminated with festive lights. A triumphant arc will be constructed and the Patriot Games will commence. The games are an unprecedented four-day athletic event featuring the greatest high school athletes, one young man and one young woman from each state and territory. Did you talk about this on No Agenda yet?
No, we're probably not going to talk about it.
Why? It seems like a No Agenda topic.
No, it doesn't seem like a No Agenda topic at all. There's nothing to deconstruct. It's a straightforward publicity stunt. It doesn't seem to have.
But do you know the parallel here, right?
What, the Nazi Germany parallel?
No, the Hunger Games.
Oh, the Hunger. Well,
and let me quote from Germany, let me quote from the Hunger Games, shall I? And so it was decreed that each year, the various districts in Panem will offer up in tribute one young man and one young woman to fight to the death in a pageant of honor, courage, and sacrifice.
Fight to the death in these games?
Well, I don't know. Maybe power? Not to death. Maybe not death, but maybe they'll chip a nail. I don't know. What's next, by the way? I'm thinking the purge. Maybe we'll have a purge night. One night per year for 12 hours or so.
You call when everyone goes nuts for an hour.
You're allowed to kill anybody you want for one.
Yeah, kill it. Yeah, yeah. What is that? What movie is that?
The Purge. The Purge.
Oh, was it called The Purge?
Yeah.
Yeah, you get an hour to go shoot anyone you want.
That's next. Greatest ideas come from TV. Listen. We got most of our technology from what? From Star Trek, right?
Well, there's a lot of technology we got. Or we didn't get it from them. It was predicted by them.
Yeah. We don't have the replicator yet. Where they made food.
Right.
Spaghetti meatballs. And by the way, that was made, if you look at the history and in-depth studies of how that actually happened, that your food in the replicator was made from your biological waste.
You know, the replicator is very similar to the automat.
Oh, I loved it. Where do you have an automat?
I was in New York. In 73.
Okay, yeah.
And I stayed at the Biltmore, which is right across from the automat.
Why don't you tell people what that is? I mean, I went there as a kid all the time.
There's actually, I think Netflix or somebody has, I don't know which, what group, maybe it's YouTube, I'm not sure. Has a documentary on the automat, including who started it, why it got started, why it ended up going away, and everything in between. The automat was just a giant, it was a restaurant that had all these little doors that had different foods in each of the windows, and you put a nickel, a quarter, a dime, or a dollar, you just put a bunch of quarters in, I think it started off with nickels, but it became quarters. And you just put it in there, and then you'd open the door and grab the piece of pie or a sandwich or a hamburger or a hot dog, whatever it was. And there was no wait staff, and they were very entertaining.
Yep, you used to grab a little.
They're popular across the country. I think they started in Philadelphia, according to the documentary, they didn't start in New York, but they became very popular.
I remember my dad was like, "Let's go in and see." We're like, "Oh, can we go to the automat? Can we go to the automat?" Because we just like watching. They would turn. It was like a pie dispenser, like in a diner. Yeah, that
there
would
was
turn.
Yes, they showed all the mechanisms and patents and everything in this documentary. It's quite fascinating.
Yeah, loved it. All right, the Fed pick. Now it seems like there's a fourth person in the race. President Trump says, nowadays, when there's good news, the market goes down because everybody thinks the interest rates will be immediately lifted. This happened on the heels of a really good GDP number that came out today. He says, I want my new Fed chairman to lower interest rates if the market is doing well. He said, anybody that disagrees with me will never be the Fed chairman. And wouldn't you know it, just tonight, Hassett came out and said that the neutral rate that we're behind the curve in our interest rates and should be lowered significantly. This guy's kissing some serious tukas.
That was funny.
Yep. There was a blackout, by the way, in San Francisco last week, I believe.
I think it's still going on in some parts of the city.
What's the problem?
Nobody knows for sure, but Mimi has a theory that I thought was viable, which is the substation that went out was one of the very many substations in San Francisco that were enclosed, and so they weren't weatherproof. And because we had a big rainstorm, the roofs were no good because they haven't been maintained very well because San Francisco is a poorly maintained city. And it leaked, got inside, and blew up the place.
Really?
So now that's the thinking. And it's logical, and so I'm going along with it.
Gotta roll with it. So, interesting, Alphabet-owned Waymo resumed its robotaxi service Sunday evening after it paused against a widestream blackout.
Oh. Yeah, it seems as if the Waymo cars, which are going to be available to me out here in the East Bay, and up to Sacramento, they're going to have them all over. Half of California is going to have these things. And they were programmed to, if the charging stations went down, which they all did, the cars were somehow, it was just a coding problem. The cars were told to park and just stay put.
That's crazy.
And so you had a bunch of cars stopped all over town.
So in theory, if we have all these, you know, the future that some predict that we'll have all this autonomous driving, right?
And I think there's going to be quite a bit of it.
And then you have the question of what happens if there is a major internet outage that they're running on. What happens then?
They're going to have to figure that out. I'm a kind of a codger, so I'm going to just drive my car.
Yeah. Somebody put some kind of a blocker on the GPS.
I can see, I have a 2005 car, and so it doesn't have a lot of these features. It doesn't track me wherever I'm, it doesn't track me like a dog, like the current cars do. But yeah, there's definitely a couple of things to be worked out, but I think they're pretty much on their way. With the Waymo in particular, then Uber's going to have to do something because it's impinging now on their business. So I'm very skeptical about the future of those guys until they get to driverless. And then there's this Zooks thing, this crazy looking car that's coming out sometime soon. And everyone who uses them likes them.
I'm just concerned about, have we thought through the whole hacking / outage blockage?
I think they thought through most of it. I think it's pretty close to being good to go, nationwide.
I'm excited. I don't see any of it down here in Florida.
You will.
I'm sure I will. President Trump's executive order shifts cannabis from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3, easing research, banking, and tax restrictions. We talked about this happening and some of the wheat stocks moved up. But then once this happened, when he said this is not legalization, this is not recreational use, and the realization what this would do is actually promote competition, those wheat stocks tumbled.
Yeah, wheat stocks are just risky. I mean, I think it's good that they can access banking. Because as it has been going, these guys just get robbed all the time because they're doing an all-cash business.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 100%. Totally agree. that they can't do certain business, can't get loans, can't use banks.
Well, they can't use a credit card reader.
Right. And they have to use cash.
They use cash, cash, cash. And so it's just encouraging crime. It's not right.
I concur. I concur. OpenAI beggars continuing. OpenAI has an initial discussions to raise at least $10 billion from Amazon now. And it's going to use Amazon's chips. So again, back to circular financing. Or vendor financing, or circular vendor financing, whatever you want to call it. Yeah. So this is a win for Amazon. The deal could open up further discussions, could value OpenAI also upwards of $500 billion.
Yeah.
So, is of course, talks are in the preliminary stage, and not terms cannot be, you know, terms cannot be confirmed. So, back to silver and gold. You remember that Lone Ranger? Do you watch the Lone Ranger?
Yeah, when I was a kid.
Yeah. Hi-ho, silver and away! Silver's up 135% year-to-date or so. Gold's up 70%. Best year and the strongest annual performance since 1979 for gold.
Yeah, a lot of people seeing charting, the chart nut balls are claiming it's going to go to 5,000 easy.
Well, 5,000.
Which means silver, only, God knows
five,
what.
5,000 is only 10% away.
Oh, what are we at?
We're at 4,500.
Yeah, okay. Well, 5,000 is only 10% away. But silver should be at 100.
It could be. It's got to track
That's
it.
That's what I'm thinking.
It spent many years in the doghouse. Everybody talked about it being an industrial metal, but nobody would buy on it for years. I've told you the story about Dickie.
Maybe.
I was at my lake house that I had many years ago, and there was a neighbor, and he was telling us all about his silver holdings. That his entire life is basically wrapped up in silver. Yeah. And that he's never selling it. And he can't retire because this and that and this and that. Well, fast forward like a year later, there's Dickie again when I'm out there. And silver was up pretty good at that point. I think it was like 2007 or something. I said, Dickie, would you think about maybe selling a little bit? Just to bank it away so you can have some money to spend? No, absolutely not. Meanwhile, silver crashed after that and didn't come back for, I don't know, 20 years? Something crazy.
It came back.
Yeah, now Dickie, if you're listening, Dickie, would you think about maybe selling a little bit of that?
Probably no.
No, definitely not. Absolutely not.
This is like the guys, the Bitcoin guys.
Yeah. This is the...
It's up, it's down, they don't care. They're keeping it.
It was a silver renaissance. It was the silver winter. It was the cold winter. The cycles are deep for better reason. Blah, blah, blah.
Well, when silver hits 100, it's going to be interesting.
Yep. This is in the 1970s when silver was riding so hot. We had inflation. U.S. dollar was weakening and an energy crisis. The energy crisis is not really there, but we have the other two. What's different now, though? The big difference is who's buying it. You got China, you got Poland, you got Turkey, India. India's buying the crap load of this stuff. The central banks. And the pockets of central bankers are much deeper than the Hunt brothers.
Yeah, I would think so.
New thing happening. Well, let's just skip before we do that. Let's talk about copper. Copper prices topped 12,000 a ton for the first time, extending the metal's recent bull run as mine outages add to concerns about supply. Why this is an interesting story to me is that the tariffs that went on and the threat of the tariffs and this whole prices that started moving up, then people are hoarding. So much so that the richest and most easily accessible mines are now essentially exhausted. Markets are in such bad shape that experts are warning that the potential is for a cusp of a major deficit. So that becomes a supply-demand imbalance, which is what's happening and why it's being pushed up. Everybody's freaking out. Right, they're freaking out. They're not going to be able to get the supply they need. So what do? They buy the crap out of it and stockpile it.
Right. That's what's going to happen.
So that's happening there. Then on the other side of that is, I don't know if you've heard the sad news about bourbon maker Jim Beam.
Yeah, they're shutting down one of their main distillery.
Shutting it down for a year. And this is not for just cleaning behind the cabinets. This is because Brown is out. A recent study showed that U.S. adults who say they consume alcohol has fallen to 54%. The lowest point in the Gallup poll's 90-year history. That's pretty substantial. I know that there is a change. Young people are not drinking as much. They're doing other things. They're doing alternative beverages, with weed,
edibles,
a lot of different things they're doing. But people perceive
also seltzer water with
CBD, THC,
vodka in it. Or CBD water.
Yeah. So what? And the RTDs they call them, by the way, the ready to drinks.
Yeah.
You know, you got the
which is nothing new.
You got the Trulies, and it's
they used to have bourbon and cola in a can.
Yeah, vodka soda for the lazy is $3 more in a can.
It's a jip.
Because God forbid you, I'll give you a quick recipe for vodka and soda. Ready? Vodka and soda. That's about it.
Yeah.
Do what you want. Do what you want with the
soda water and put some vodka in it. Boom. Look at that.
Yeah. How do what you that? Want.
I did it myself.
You could put the vodka in first. You could put the soda in first. It doesn't matter. You could do them at the same time.
Pick your